was writing Mum's book, I always feel like there's a couple of touchstones, books that I've got in the back of my head that I'm kind of thinking about while I was writing it. I remember Paul Lynch, the author for the Booker Prize winner a few years ago, said how he has a couple of books that are kind of like touchstones from decades old books. And it's not that you're copying them or anything like that. You're kind of borrowing an essence from some certain books, and you mix their essences together and you create a new essence. And for me, and maybe I'm only saying it in retrospect, the benefit of hindsight or post-rationalizing it, but for me, while I was writing Mum's book, even though some of it actually happened, a lot of it I was kind of channeling her, and it's the kind of stuff I could imagine her doing. The two books that I had in mind were The Little Prince, which is one of my favorite books. I've only read it twice. For a favorite book, that's not many times. And I was given it as a kid, and it made no sense. I didn't understand The Little Prince. I was too young to read it. For me, it's really, even though it's supposed to be a kid's book, it's really a reminder that it's a reminder for adults, the wonder and awe in the world and all that sort of stuff. And the other book, The Little Prince, and then there was Catcher in the Rye, which I didn't read until my early 40s. I read The Little Prince in my late 30s for the first time, and The Catcher in the Rye for the first time in my early 40s. And those two books, mine's kind of whimsy and awe and wonder, and the other one is kind of teen angst from the 60s, when the idea of the teenager was born. I think that was a new word back then. It was written in the 50s, actually, I think. Shit. But, and that kind of world-weary cynicism for someone who's barely 20, walking around calling everything phonies and fakes, and how the world's always clapping for the wrong things. But I had a mix when I wrote Mum's book. There's this awe and cynicism mixed together, and those were the two books that I kind of had in mind. I don't know, I actually don't even remember if I was consciously doing it, but yeah, there are some pages that are sort of tired of the world and some that are just waking up to a new world. So it's kind of, Mum's book became a sort of a mixture of the old regular world that's absolutely just mind-numbing, and the wonder that exists around us constantly. And those are the two books that I had in mind. And another thought I had recently, maybe I talked about it not long ago, I was rereading some old books that I loved, and 10 years later I thought, I don't like this book as much as I used to. And I looked it up on Goodreads to go to give it a rating. I like rating books. I know rating books is kind of completely ridiculous and redundant. Giving star reviews to art is kind of an insult to magic and wonder. But I don't care. I do it because it actually taught me at the time, a few weeks ago, was when I went back to review these old books that I once loved. I noticed I'd given them 5 stars 15 years ago. Now I'd give them 3, 4, or even 3 stars. And while a lot of old books, their juice slowly drains over the years and you can't get the nutrient out of them anymore, they're kind of, they lose their power. It was great because all of a sudden, these books that went from a 5-star down to a 3-star, all of a sudden I thought, what I once considered a perfect book, now there was space in those 2 stars that were now missing. That was the space that showed me that my inner editor had gotten stronger. Now I could write a book. Now I'm in the perfect headspace to be writing a book, when an old book becomes a little bit less charming or beautiful as it once was. Yeah, I feel like those 2 stars that are missing is the exact space that I now have to be able to write something that's worthwhile for me. But to bring something to my heart, make me feel semi-alive. But yeah, I love the idea of mixing essences and spirits of books that we love. And it kind of happens naturally as well. Just over time, you can't help it. Another book Mum also loved, or not this specific book, but Michael Lunig. This is a really tattered old version that I have. I think it's been run under a bus a few times. That's not actually artwork. It's just old Michael Lunig stuff. That kind of snuck into a lot of the work I was doing. Oh my God, I got his signature on it. I didn't even realize. Oh. Here it is. To Darby, Michael Lunig. I totally forgot. I would have gone to readings and got it signed. That was back in 1999. But anyway, yeah, all these, the spirit of books, they sort of sneak in. And I'd probably even say there's a bit of David Lynch and Charles Bukowski in Mum's book. They're two of my favourite artists. Months ago when I first started posting Mum's stuff, people were saying, this is kind of David Lynch-esque. And someone else said, this is Bukowski-esque. And I thought, people know that there's a little bit of inspiration or the essence borrowed from all these things like David Lynch and Charles Bukowski, J.D. Salinger and what's his face, the French dude, Antoine de Saint-Exupéry, the Little Prince. Yeah, this sounds kind of arrogant, but I wanted to write a classic small book. I've heard it being said before that it's almost impossible to write a perfect big book, big novel. It's impossible. You've got too much room to fuck up. But if you can write something small and compact, you can almost make it perfect, like The Little Prince or The Catcher in the Rye. And my goal was to kind of write something that to me was perfect. Why not? You get old enough. Why not try and write something that's the best book that you've ever read? I know it sounds completely arrogant, but that's such a stupid cultural bullshit thing that we all get stuck in. You got to be humble. You got to not, you know, don't put your head up. Yeah, I just thought, why not? Why not try and write the best thing, something better than the books that I once considered to be perfect books? Or try to, at least. Let the audience decide in the end and see what happens. But yeah, that was kind of my feeling. I kind of felt like if I could put Mum's book on a shelf, it would be bookended by The Little Prince and The Catcher in the Rye. Maybe I'll talk about that more when I actually get Mum's book in my hands. I can't wait to see it's the thickness of the spine, almost like a corridor of pages of each one in a room, rather than just the front cover. That's what I'm looking forward to. And also, the other book that I've just finished editing, You're Gonna Be Okay Because You're Fucked No Matter What, which is almost kind of like, it's not exactly in the lineage of Mum's book, but it was some of my favourite stuff. It's a bit nihilistic in parts, but I'm glad that I've got it. I'm glad that it was part of the last 5 years of being bombarded by politics, the endless just overreach into everyone's lives, trying to tell you what to do and what you can and can't do. But yeah, I'm trying to write almost like a spiritual sequel to Mum's book. And that's going to be hard to do because part of the charm of Mum's book is the fact that she was a real old eccentric. She was real. She was, and coming from her voice, there's something very singular about it. And while I feel like I found my own voice, I'm still coming into it. There's still a part of me where I feel like I'm still developing my eccentricities and I'm still getting a little bit more crazy as I get older. I'm still kind of ripening into it. But I'm writing a book, kind of like a spiritual sequel to Mum's book, where it's At the moment, they're almost like little love letters to the universe, if you can even say that. They're kind of almost notes to self. What I'm doing is I'm adding "and I love you" at the end of each one. And while it seems like a pure tack on formula, it's for me, just that last line feels like a guardrail while I'm writing it. It's almost like while I was writing Mum's book, I'd start off with "Darby Love." That was a guardrail. Immediately, I was in the world. It created the room to write the rest of that sentence by starting with "Darby Love," but finishing each new thing that I'm writing with "and I love you" makes me go, okay, what did I just write? Is that even close to being something that has some kind of beauty to it? And if it doesn't fit it, then bad luck. There's a good chance I'll likely remove "and I love you" from the end of all these poems, because it feels like a pure gimmick tack on. But for the moment, it's a guardrail to keep me in check and not go into nihilism, cynical, dark land, which I love. It's too easy to write. It's very popular, but I'm kind of tired of it. And yeah, I want to willfully write optimistic, beautiful stuff that's got nothing to do with the fake realities of the world, just the one of the heart. As earnest as that is. If you'd like to leave a review for this on Spotify or Apple or a comment on YouTube, I'd love it.